Welcome back to the Live Elevated podcast. Stoked you're here. Today's episode is absolutely awesome with a good friend of mine, Ryan Tuttle, who's back. He did one episode before. We talked about life, meditation, presence, surfing. And today's episode, we talked about everything, family, leadership. We talked about the Bible, talked about a lot of things spiritual, talked about marriage. So it's a really great episode. He's got tons of wisdom, and he's a great storyteller. So buckle up for this one and enjoy the ride. Well, Ryan, let's freaking go, buddy. Round two. Welcome back. How we feeling?
Feeling great. Feeling good. Lighting some candles over there.
Don't mind me.
Okay.
We call this the eternal flame. Yeah. Which is seems to be out. Okay. Seems to be no longer eternal. Oh, there we go. We're good.
I think.
Okay. Now fail. That's how you open a podcast up, my friend. Well, dude, so yeah, we're all good. This is the second time popping on. I'm stoked to have you on the podcast, of course.
Yeah, likewise.
First one was amazing. Got a lot of good feedback. And it was one of my personal favorites, if not the, because... I mean, dude, you're just so intentional. And I wrote down three things. So I hope you're in a state to receive some compliments and some life.
And I receive all of it.
Okay, good. So three things I admire and love about you, bro. The love that's in your heart and on your face. Like, it's so evident. Number two, the way you lead others with authenticity. It's amazing. You're always putting connection and others at the forefront of your life. And number three, the intentionality, the way you live with intention. It's so refreshing and so powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like part of why I wrote that third one is because Bradley Simmons is another one who I had in the podcast lately, British trainer, model, icon. And you and him, I think, are the only guys who really put like the question around on me. You know, you're constantly inviting me in the conversation, sure. Which is dope because like I'm not an interviewer. So I appreciate the back and forth, and you know, you do that obviously. That's not something that you like try to do as a strategy. You're just like you're always others focused, which is cool. Mm. So thanks for being you, bro.
I appreciate the kind words, man.
Of course,
and again, well received. As always,
yeah.
I think the reaction from people who had reached out to me personally after listening to the episode was heartfelt as well. And I think that just shows some truth in when you are able to speak on vulnerability and come from an authentic place.
Right.
I think the audience has a tendency to be drawn towards that. And in that moment as well, you kind of opened up and shared a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
As well.
It didn't feel, you know, it's funny too, because whenever you're doing that, whenever you're being vulnerable, there can be a safe environment, but it doesn't always feel safe and comfortable in a way, because you're exposing yourself. Like you're exposing yourself to be seen.
Yeah.
And like how often do we run away from that as humans? You know, I think you opened the Bible for the first time, like, you know, really, which I wanted to talk about that for sure. But that's the first thing that happens. You know, one of the first things is the shame of being seen, you know, being seen naked, just as I am. So I got to just thank you for that, because that's the invitation. It was a beautiful thing. Because there's a desire for me to want to share more of myself and, you know, expose parts of me that people maybe don't know about me. And I think people have, you know, thoughts and they judge a book by its cover. We do that as humans. You know,
yeah,
I'm guilty of it for sure.
Yeah, same.
And so I think people do that with you, with me, with everyone, you know, you listening. And I just think it's powerful to be able to, you know, be seen and actually heard for who you are. So I have that desire, but you invited me into that, and that's just, I appreciate that. So it was really, really cool, and I love that. So, yeah, man, what's new with you? What's going on? It's December, so we're getting up to the holiday season. The training, too, we just finished up, for you guys listening and watching, we finished up one of the last training sessions of the year, right?
We may sneak one more in, but for the most part, yeah, probably the last one before we head into 2024.
Pat, those community workouts.
Yes.
How has that, because it's really cool how it's evolving, you know? We're in the thick of it. We're in it. Did you see it happening this way? Did you envision kind of what you're seeing now? How has it surprised you, if not?
I'm welcoming the growth of it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not something that I was seeking after or in feeling any type of validation for or whatnot. You know, as you know, it originally started with me just doing a lot of this kind of stuff and work out on my own and in the dark and without any type of audience. And as it's just kind of grown over the months, it's just become a great space for not only myself, but for men to come together and move and connect and talk about, you know, their feelings and maybe even getting greater involvement within their own community. So it's just kind of creating this container and this space for men to become better versions of themselves. And that's kind of ultimately what I, as this has kind of grown and blossomed a little bit into maturation, it's like, okay, there obviously is a want and a need from like-minded men within our communities, and then even the reach from external sources of people reaching out, man, I wish we had this where I was at.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. It's filling me up. It provides a space for me to reconnect and for me to grow as well, along with everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you lead it so well. It's a part of the compliment too. I'm like, you lead very intentionally. And there's a deeper thing there too, where it's like, you good?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I thought you were getting my attention. But like, you know, with desires and like passions and fulfillment, like when you feel those things, it's a good sign that you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if there's a design, if there's a human being, let's say, and there's a deep fulfillment when you're doing or being a certain thing or way, it's a good chance that you're fulfilling your purpose, right? So that's a really cool concept. And so I'm stoked. It's such a good group. It's growing. We got guys, like I'll be having guys DM me, as I'm sure you do too, who are in Miami or Tampa, or they're visiting. I had a guy, if you're watching, I'm stoked to maybe connect, going down to Destin with his family, which is, as you know, Florida's pretty freaking long.
Yeah.
So like Destin's a trip, you know, and he's like, I honestly would make a drive down there potentially. Like where are you exactly, you know? And so it's cool. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's in another way, it speaks to the idea of, you know, being who you are and shining your light and creating an environment and a culture. It attracts like-minded people. So you don't have to go find people necessarily. I think you just got to, you know, be who you are unapologetically,
yes,
authentically, and people see it and they like moss to a flame. They're like, yeah, I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, light attracts light.
That's it, bro. How do we keep our lights shining, you know?
Yeah.
yeah, man, dude, it's so freaking good, and I'm excited for the future. Now, you always within that workout, Ryan does a good job. You do a good job of like opening that space with an intention or a quote or a story.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things I love about you, it might be your yogi background, your teaching background, where you try to have an impactful story. You know, like the story you told the other day, it had to do with a plant, two plants being planted, one on the inside of a house and one outside. And that just stuck with me because it was like a random detail within your story, but that's how we learn as humans. If you were just telling me like the truth of your story on the onset without the details, it's like, oh yeah, of course. So maybe, you know, I'd love to hear like if you have maybe a short story or, you know, like one of those stories that has been your favorite through the years. If you did, I'd love to hear. I know people, you're such a good storyteller. I feel like people need to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite story is the story of the monk that goes out onto the lake. And I may have told this one in one of the group settings before, but it's my all-time favorite I guess you could say, yoga story. And I mean, I'm happy to share it.
Dude, I want to hear it. When you said monk, I thought you meant the monk on fire, which was, you know, we talked about that on the Celery Fields as well.
Yeah, like, that was actually a live,
that was a real
life event. Yeah.
Tell us what happened in that instance, just real quick. What's sure. That? Yeah, there's a monk who lights himself on fire.
Yeah, there's a monk that a group of monks that drive out to the middle of a pedestrian street, and they get out of the vehicle, and he sits down, and an audience begins to gather around. And this was during the correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the conflicts between North and South Vietnam.
Mm.
And the monk sits down, and the fellow monks begin to pour gasoline over him. And then they light him on fire. And the magical thing about even though this monk is burning a line, I guess you can find the beauty in this is that the monk sits completely still.
Stoic.
To his death. And it just goes to show just how, for me, when I saw that, it showed me how much potential that we actually have as human beings.
Wow.
And how we are of only just a small percentage of who we really can become when it comes to finding our truest self and finding that real sense of presence and compassion and love. Mm. It's all there.
Well,
we just don't know how to tap into it or
right.
or are on the pursuit of trying to figure that out.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean that really was the same feeling I got is, you know, what is possible truly when you are connected to God, Source, when you're connected to the higher power that really keeps the stars in the galaxy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's wild. And I think that core essence is love. And that's been a reoccurring theme in my life is that love and how that conquers and overcomes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that monk was doing that out of love, an agape biblical, you know, type of love that he is willing to sacrifice himself, his very life, and do that for, you know, a lesson or to maybe stop the war, to end the war and to make peace. But yet not just that, he did it, to your point, in this way that doesn't even make human sense. Didn't move.
Yeah.
Didn't budge. Mm-mm. Like what?
Nothing.
That is insane. So very powerful. Now your, thanks for sharing that story. That's a really powerful one. What about the story that's your favorite, your personal? So you mentioned the monk on the lake.
Yeah, so if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but maybe we close our eyes. Let's share the story.
We'd love to.
Yeah, let's kind of take ourselves down this little avenue. Yeah. So obviously, if you're driving or using cutlery or anything like that, I don't advise you to close your eyes, but maybe press pause.
Yeah.
And when you get to a spot in your day where you can tap back in, maybe this is a great story. And this mm-hmm. is one that I've told in some of my yoga classes in years past. And I may have even have told it during one of the Pathos groups. But it's my all-time favorite story because it resonates the most with me. And it's about this monk who decides to meditate outside of his monastery. And so he gets in a canoe, and he paddles out to the middle of this beautiful, pristine lake. And I want you to really just try and imagine this right now. And he's paddling out, and it's just the calmest morning. There's a thick fog over the water. The lake is surrounded by these pristine mountain ranges, snow-capped. And the monk begins to meditate. And just as he begins to go within and find this moment of introspection, he feels a big thud, a big bump. And this feeling of fury and anger begins to rise up within him. The hair begins to stand up on his skin, and the monk is internally dialoguing to himself, how could this happen? You know, the entire reason why I paddled out to the middle of the lake is so that I can find peace and introspection. And here is this person that just aimlessly runs his canoe into my canoe. And the monk opens his eyes to yell out at this man, and he stops in astonishment. You see, the other canoe was empty. It had untethered itself from the nearby shore and aimlessly ran into his. And in that moment, that monk realized that all of that feeling, that was already within him. And all that it took was an external bump to provoke it out of him. And so the moral of the story is that life is the bump. Life is going to create an emotion from within you. But it's about allowing that emotion to flow through you versus being provoked out of you. And from that moment on, that monk, whenever he was in, you know, met with conflict, with anger, he stopped and he paused and he remembered that moment from where he was in. And he allowed that feeling just to move through him. So it's about responding versus reacting. And for a guy who lived many years of short tempered and pointing the finger, right, which we talked about in episode one, that story just sticks with me and always will. And it's like I find myself sometimes in car rides or in other moments in my life, and it's such a great story just to tap back into and say, hey, take a step back, take a pause. Where is the emotion coming from, and why are you feeling this certain way before taking that action forward?
Yeah, that's fire, man. I forget who said it. It's so good, man. I know it was a Stoic philosopher. Maybe it was Aubrey Marcus or Aubrey Marcus. Marcus Aurelius.
Also a great guy.
Yeah. Aubrey Marcus, a Stoic philosopher.
Shout out to Aubrey Marcus.
Yeah, man. On it. He's on it. Marcus Aurelius, the guy. I believe it was him, but he said that situations don't make the man, they reveal the man. Jesus said out of the heart, out of the depths of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out is ultimately what's already within. And that's why I love Jesus' teaching. He's always getting at the heart of the matter. You're in the Old Testament now, but when Christ came, he talked about the law. And a lot of this stuff is in the Old Testament is the law, thou shalt not.
Yeah.
And human beings, we all have a tendency to make a good thing and manipulate it into a weapon or to use it against people. And people were using the law as something to achieve or to live by, and then therefore feeling self-righteous. I'm better than you, right? I'm not them. And so Christ came and he just addressed that very thing. So like all the people that had the issues with him were the religious elite or the educated or the tradition, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. And he spoke to that truth is like you reveal what's deep within you. So if you're trying to modify your behavior, that's great. You know, cool. There's a lot of that goes on. But ultimately what we're all in search of and what you can tell certain people have done is they've experienced an internal change, this internal transformation, this inner reality.
Yeah.
You have a peace that is externally visible because you have a peace within. You have this inner reality that manifests outwardly.
Yeah.
Love that story. What's the difference before we get into your quest, your beginning, your journey of reading the Bible? What is the difference between reacting and responding? Because, you know, if someone's listening, I'm listening too. It's like, you know, how I want to do a better job of living intentionally, but how do we, I don't know, how do we get better at you know, not just being reactive and letting whatever happen, but be in intention.
I think reacting is coming from a place of emotion versus responding is coming from a place of understanding or compassion, you could argue.
Understanding what?
Understanding that, understanding that the feeling that you may be feeling may not be the direct result of the individual creating that feeling for you, but rather that feeling is coming from within itself.
Wow. And it's almost a gift too, in a way. You think about that. It's a gift that the canoe hits, or the person pulls out in front of you, or something you don't wish to happen happens, because it gives that opportunity to maybe reveal something.
Yeah.
That's been internalized or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a gift. And that's the whole concept of life happening for you anyway. I think that's a massive shift in life. I'm not sure if you feel the same, but I do see like the littlest things. I feel like I'm a weirdo because I'll see something small, man. Like just at the grocery store, at the market, you know, a conversation, something someone just maybe says offhand, like whatever it is, but I'll see it. Even something my dog's done. Like I'm with Drew and I'm like, he'll do something, I'll react in a way, and I'm like, wow. And I'm always pulling the deeper meaning out of it.
Yeah.
So, but that's because I really truly believe life happens for me. So even the worst thing, the in-between things, the unexpected things, the great things, they're all teachers in a way.
Yeah.
And they're basically there to teach me and guide me through life. And maybe that's what life is. Once that's all complete, boom, you're gone. Like maybe that's when, you know, so you are complete. Like that's the completion of your life because you've just went through all of it.
Yeah.
No matter how long. But yeah, I'm a weirdo. I get that.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's little things in the day that, I may have sent you a picture of this, but there was a snail crawling on the deck the other way. And I was like, in that moment, like immediately, instead of going, oh, look, it's a cute little snail, like my thought process went, and I forget the direct relation to that. I was meditating. The meditation that I was listening to was about slowing down.
Wow. Yeah.
And I look up, and for the first time in 4 years of owning the house, there's a snail crawling across in front of me. And I immediately started finding, like, I'm like blown away, and I'm like texting Jess, and like I may have texted you.
You texted
me. What is this? This is unreal. Like, right. What is the meaning of this?
Yep.
And start analyzing that.
Yep.
That's just how my brain works.
So funny. Yeah, I think I texted you that morning, and then you told me the story of that. But it's true. And nature itself. I mean, one of the things I love about our Thursday workouts, among many other things, is the connection we have to nature in that moment. And nature has so much to teach us. You know, I think we've gotten so far away. When I say we, I mean me and other people, especially in the Western world. And we're just so removed from nature. And we find ourselves incongruent. We find ourselves disintegrated. We find ourselves disconnected. And is it any wonder? I mean, we're living in a superficial, artificial world all the time. And we're blessed. We get the ability to do that more often in the year and also within our jobs. But I think that's the one thing. If someone's in a cubicle, you got to really be intentional about using your free time and purposefully connecting with nature. Yeah. Why? Because the vibrational effect, the energetic effect, but also the stuff you just mentioned with the snail. Nature's secret is patience.
Yeah. Right now is a prime example to elaborate on that.
Yeah, please.
As we make our way into fall and we make our way into winter, if you take a step back and you look to see what nature is actually doing right now, it's slowing down. Animals are gathering things for their hibernation. The leaves are falling.
Yeah.
The daylight is growing shorter. And yet, what are we doing as human beings right now? Just rolled out of Thanksgiving, rolling into Christmas, New Year, season is here in Florida. We're doing the complete opposite of what everything around us is telling us what we should be doing.
Wow. True. Yeah, we're hustling and bustling, man. We're pulling our freaking hair out and screaming, trying to get in, you know, just get everything done.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that has to be a massive contributor to the angst people feel around holiday season.
Sure.
Among other things. And I think too, like, you'd appreciate this, just the reality of, you know, you mentioned understanding and empathy. This is maybe the first time in my life where I've actually like felt this so strongly, but I do feel like, man, my heart goes out to people this time of year who this is not the greatest time of the year. You know, it's the hardest.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed, you know, I haven't experienced tremendous loss, personal loss. I know if you live long enough, you're going to experience that. You cannot get around it. In fact, if you try to get around loss or try to get around failure or grief or hurt, you're not truly living. You know, you can only love to the extent you're willing to be hurt.
Right.
And so I just think it's, you know, I'm aware of that now, and my heart goes out to people. And that's a reality for me. I'm trying to impact people as you are in this season of life, or in this season of the year too, because I know people are having a hard time mm-hmm. out there. Not everyone is, you know, at their best this year. So I think that's a good reminder just to calm down, to try to ask for more understanding and to live with that. Because in the most hectic time, there's got to be a way we can find a way to slow down and to be more empathetic and just, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, dude, you literally are slowing down. You did slow down quite a lot lately with your latest surgery. So and so for those of you who don't know Ryan well and his life journey right now, you just chose to get a vasectomy. That just happened, what, 2 weeks ago?
A week ago yesterday.
So 8 days of snippage. You are snipped. You are a snipped man, my man.
Yeah,
I am. So, but talk about that, because I'll shut up now because I've been rambling. But, you know, Gigi and I read your post. I read Jessica's post. And, you know, she's obviously, shout out Jessica. She's an incredible woman, obviously, you know. And even her post, I'm like, man, it's great to see the vulnerability and the authenticity, because, you know, you don't have to put it out there, but you chose to. And there's a reason for that. And so, you know, I'd love to, you know, hear how you're doing in that sense, you know, with everything a week out.
We both feel really good with our decision. It was something that we talked about when we first started dating. You know, that's obviously is a huge topic of conversation once right. you know, start developing feelings for someone, to kind of, you know, figure out, you know, what avenue you're looking to go down when it comes to children. And we opted to just put that on hold in the event that feelings do change, because mm-hmm. you know, people evolve, and so do you know, thought processes and family dynamics.
Sure.
But you know, 6 years together, you know, we finally mutually decided that, you know, it was a good time to go ahead and do that.
Keep talking. We're still janky in the studio. I'm
make sure I'm still recording.
Yeah, for you guys on YouTube, we are we have two angles. First time ever on the podcast. I hate to cut you off,
yeah.
But first time ever, two angles, and so this is all for the love of the game and love of the audience.
Yeah. So we ultimately decided that now's a good time to do this, and you know, the conversation, the biggest conversation around. Yeah, it did stop recording, so hopefully it picked that up. The biggest conversation, you know, particularly around Jess, you know, being a mother, mm-hmm. and the symbolism around motherhood, and, you know, would that make her less of a woman, not ever being able to have that birthright, right? To give birth to another child.
Sure.
And for me, the question was, am I less of a man? You know, will I be less of a man to no longer be able to procreate and deliver my seed, ultimately?
Yeah.
But the thing that we kept coming back to is it doesn't make us any less of a person.
Yeah.
Perhaps what it does is just allows us to embody the roles that we're kind of going down right now. And that's mm-hmm. what I talked about and what she talked about within the post is it has now given me more room to be fatherly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to continue to lead men and be there for men and a support system. And the same for her. And I'm embracing that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to embrace that moving forward. And so is she.
I mean, amazing. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. You, with your level of intention and thoughtfulness when it comes to life and your lifestyle, like, there's no doubt in my mind. It's just, it's another lesson. When we talk about this, another lesson. There's so many people out there who want to have kids that can't.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of people who don't want kids and they got a kid, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, life is messy like that. You know, life is messy. Expectations, dreams, you know, it's interesting how that stuff plays out. But then, you know, in some instances, it's not a dream, but it's a reality that you're trying to not duplicate,
yeah.
You know, from experience. And that's what I thought of you too. I'm just like, you know, it's your life experience, everyone's life experience plays a role in how we think and how we choose and all that. But to your point, it's amazing because you can be fatherly and she can be motherly, which is an incredible opportunity. There's so many people out there who need that.
Yeah.
You know, people who have biological parents who are not there for them the way you could be, you know?
And, that's it.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're truly embodying that sometimes more than other people than a biological dad would.
Right.
So yeah. That's awesome. It's incredible. Anything surprise you about the whole journey of that and getting, you know, getting it done or anything like pop out to you?
The procedure itself was a lot easier than I thought. A great doctor, Dr. Nassetti.
Modern medicine.
For any men out there who are, you know, considering going down that route, he was great. Oh, yeah, he was fantastic. I was number 3,303.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He actually started singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire as he was carterizing things down there. So it immediately
just casual.
He made it so easy. Hmm. And so, yeah, shout out to vasme.com.
Yeah, amazing. And that's local-ish.
Yeah, right up the road.
Cool.
Right up the street.
Yeah. That's super good, man. Okay, so back to the Bible. So you you know, you met Troy Ducé. Is it Ducé?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Dr.
Pastor. Troy Ducé.
Shout out Dr. Troy. He's actually been to Pathos workouts, community workouts. He preaches, teaches at
Suncoast.
Yeah. And he really cool. I mean, there's a lot of stories between you, me, and him. Just even in our small number of interactions together, just like we were talking about him, and then we show up. I go take a piss. I walk out of the bathroom, and you're with a guy, and you're like, here he is. We were just talking about him.
Yeah.
So just synchronicities like that were cool. Divine timing, no doubt. But he has been impactful to you, no doubt. You can talk about that. I'd love to hear how he's impacted your life, specifically spiritually, but in other ways, you know, free reign. But what was cool is he gave you, you know, a Bible. And that was one of the first Bibles. Is that right?
My first Bible that I've ever owned.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So how has he impacted your life, you know, so far?
He's just the way that he's preached and his sermons have just, it's allowed me to be open to the greater possibility of faithfulness and spirituality. But I do have to say this before I get into Troy, all due credit goes to Jess.
Ooh.
I wouldn't know Troy. I wouldn't say I wouldn't have been open. I would have been less inclined to be open if it wasn't for Jess.
Wow. Why is that?
Because spirituality is something that Jess embodies, mm-hmm. and it was a foundational principle in our marriage. And we weren't on the same playing field. And she was, you know, based on my past experiences with the church, I just wasn't as open to it. And she encouraged me to take a second shot at this, to approach this with an open mind, and not take religion in such a literal sense. And by allowing, and by me being open, finally being say, you know what, okay, I don't know that I'll ever be as spiritual as you, but I know that this is important to you, and I'm going to make the effort for you.
Wow.
And I did. And lo and behold, doors started opening.
Interesting.
And a guy like Troy came into my life. And Troy has only just further validated that, you know, your journey in life can be one filled with spirituality and love and connection and openness, and that, you know, there's a difference between religion and spirituality. In the sense that,
yeah, I agree.
Religion is can be used as a construct, and can be argued that is man-made, whereas spirituality is made from the heart. And I think that he preaches from that in a way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. I agree. And he lives in a way from the heart too. I think to your point, religion and spirituality do differ. I grew up in church. So yeah. I grew up Christian and I grew up evangelical, which has, you know, for those who know the in and outs of that, it is different. It's unique as any denomination or approach, whatever, to Christianity even. But, you know, then I got away from, I'm like, no, don't ever call me religious, you know, because of the connotation.
Yeah.
And then, but then, you know, 2020, 2021, then I rediscover, you know, through, honestly, people like Jordan Peterson and, you know, as of late, like a Jonathan Pageau is a guy who, he's not as big, but they've rekindled this love for, some would say, religion, meaning like tradition or rituals and things of that nature. The problem is, so now I'm like, but then again, I'm like, but I'm not religious. I'm relational in my walk with God. My spirituality is relational, just like God himself.
Yeah.
So religion gets a bad rap. It probably gets a worse rap than what's due it. Maybe I can say that, but it's only because man makes it his own and uses it for his own purpose.
Yes.
And that's the epitome of what I don't want to be about. Is you're doing things apart from God, or you're doing things with hate in your heart.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think the spirituality is more accurate. But I also do want to like make sure people know like what I believe in. So I don't believe in just a universe, and I don't believe in just like general spirituality. I come from a Christian spiritualness about me.
Yeah.
But so what about Troy? Like, what about him made you? You said he preached from the heart, lives from the heart. So yeah, like what was it about him versus like your typical run-ins with religion or religious preachers?
For me, he was approachable. You know, you look at Troy and he's this big guy, tatted up guy.
Right.
Just he was relatable to me. And he invoked, the first time that I heard him at one of his sermons, he was able to invoke a feeling within me.
An emotion
that no one else has ever been able to do before.
Which you can appreciate being who you are, and like your main point with your classes and even workouts is invoking that.
He made me feel a way that I've never felt around religion before.
Interesting.
And he made me curious. And he challenged some of the constructs as well within some of it, and which made me even more curious.
Sure.
And it just, the way that he leads, helps lead, I should say, Pastor Larry is, you know, it's not a courtroom.
Hmm.
It's a hospital.
It's good.
All are welcome.
I love that.
Everyone is welcome.
Love that.
Everyone is loved and welcome here.
Wow.
And I love that.
Yeah. Wow. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
We're not a courtroom. Huh. We are a hospital.
Wow.
So come as you are, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Bro, that's fire. I mean, that's so Christ-like.
Yeah.
Christ said, I came, you know, the healthy don't need a physician.
Mm.
So, but I came to heal the sick, you know, and it's just that, that's beautiful. So good. I also think it's the love and the goodness of God that really changes people. You know, I don't think it's the fear of hell or the fear of damnation or the fear that really changes people, you know, because essentially then you're just running from something.
Yeah.
I believe God's way better than that. I believe God's so good, you'll run to God out of love and devotion and inspired by love. I believe it's best pictured in Jesus, you know, but that's where I think it is. And you mentioned too, religion versus spirituality, or religion versus being spiritual, religious or spiritual. You know, spirit is something that's like the wind. You know, you can't explain it. It's relational. It's relating to other things. It's connected to everything. Yet you can't grab it. You know, it's like it's so firm because it's so real, but yet you can't grab it. You can't point to it. And the quote that, and I know you want to interject, the quote that comes to mind is, here's where you'll find God, beyond what you can understand.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's fire.
I'm going to piggyback on that as Piggy. Well. You could argue that's faith as well. Because faith.
Yeah.
Faith to me, and let me speak for mine. Let me use an I statement here.
Yeah.
I feel like faith is something that you believe in that you can't, that also isn't tangible.
Hmm.
And you may be completely wrong about it, but you continue to believe that it's to be true.
Hmm.
Versus being certain about something.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Troy had talked about this as well. Faith and certainty are the complete opposite of each other.
Hmm.
Believing in something that is greater than your existence without being able to just be 100% certain about it. But you still lead your life and walk down that walk towards it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like it almost becoming. Like I'm getting into like what is the meaning of all of this, right? And so like maybe it's about God and Christ has just instilled all of this. It's all in here, everything.
Hmm.
And to become your highest self, you must first step towards your truest self.
Mm-hmm.
And your truest self is maybe something that's completely unattainable and that you can ever reach.
Comprehend.
Yeah. But that journey is what is the important part about all of it, is walking towards it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you may be completely wrong. I may be completely wrong. Troy may be completely wrong. But let's say that we get to the end of our lives, and we are. What did we lose by living that life?
That's a great point.
What did we lose?
Exactly. It's a great point. Would you become a more empathetic person?
A more loving person?
Yeah, he actually helped people. Exactly.
Yeah, man.
That's powerful, man. It's embodying what you believe. And I had a thought this morning. I had a thought when I was like, I went to the restroom, I came out, and I was thinking like the fruits of the Spirit in scriptures, love, joy, peace.
Mm.
Those are the first three. There's 7 total and 9 total, I believe. I'm not an elite, so don't. I could be wrong.
Don't ask me.
and let me put a bookmark in this. I think learning and being curious. I want to touch on that with Troy. And I think a healthy religion, healthy spirituality. But I was thinking, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I was raised Christian, But yet I'm aware more than ever there are different avenues that people take to find God in their search for God. And so I'm thinking, like, you know, especially in the Middle East right now, you have Christians, you have Jewish people, you have Palestinian, you have, you know, Muslim. And yet you have someone who doesn't believe anything you believe, or they don't believe, they believe something different, but yet you can have a person that believes the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, and peace, yet you have someone who has not even, you would consider them your enemy, who are exhibiting and displaying love, joy, and peace more than you.
Yeah.
What does that say? What does that mean? I don't know. But what that means is, like, I don't think head knowledge, you know, truly can change. I think you have to experience, like, I don't think head knowledge is what it's all about. I think, you know.
Keep talking.
Yeah. God changes us, and he changes the way we live and who we are, and that manifests outwardly. And so, yeah, I mean, I think what probably turned you off, among other things, is certain Christians or people within the church who you looked at and you're like, I don't even want to be like you, but yet you're ahead of me religious-wise. Like, you've been in this longer than me, but yet your life is not fruitful in terms of love, joy, and peace. Mm. And so you're like, you know, am I missing something? Are you missing something? Could we all be missing something? You know, so that's just what I was thinking this morning randomly. So you don't have anything on that, do you? Because now I'm going to go back to the curiosity, because I think what's beautiful about Troy and what I really value in other people is, if I see someone who is curious and who is open,
yes,
to being wrong, to being willing to say I'm wrong and to ask forgiveness or to change, you know, repent essentially is just to change your thought, like that. Mm. It carries a lot of connotation, but repenting is changing your mind. If you see someone who's willing to do that, I'm like, man, I love that about human. I love that about a human. Because for so much of my life, I've just been, this is the way, this is the truth, or like, this is right, I'm right. And I become the arbiter, whatever the word is, arbitrator of truth. When in reality, I think one of the biggest things that Christ talked about becoming like children is the willingness to be curious and imagine and to change and to trust and to surrender. So I think curiosity plays a big role in probably one of your in how you see Troy, how, yeah, like, oh, that's I like that.
Yes.
He's a leader of a church, but yeah, he's super curious.
Yeah.
That's cool. And I wish we all, I mean, I want to grow in curiosity, right? So, yeah, any thoughts on that before I ask you another question?
No, shout out to Troy, man.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, I mean, the impact is awesome, man. I also think God uses different people and different things to ultimately lead back to him, which is cool. He can use a snail on a deck, or he can use a person. He can use an accident, an oops. He can use anything, and that's a beautiful part. Okay, guys, Ryan, so you got your first Bible, and people who grew up in church or people, you know, believers are going to laugh at this, because I'm like, dude, this is bro, it's amazing. So it's the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson.
Yep.
It's very poetic. I love it. It's beautiful. I'm a big fan of reading different translations. So I think people who are like, no, it's just this, you know, that can be very, what we're just talking about. But I'm like, dude, that's amazing. I can't believe it. Like, I kind of wish I was the one to give you the Bible. But having said that, I was like, well, what are you reading? Like, are you reading the Gospel of Matthew or John or Colossians? And where'd you go? I'm going to start on page one.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you going to start? Page one.
Yep.
Front to back. So I said, bro, I love that, number one, because Genesis is way too amazing than we were led to believe. There's so much truth, so much symbolism, and there's so much beauty in it. But then I was also like, okay, so once you get past Genesis, you got Exodus, which is another amazing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's where things get a little hard to read in my experience. So I was like, dude, that's wild how you're going to take that approach, which is awesome, but I want to hear more about it. So how's that been?
It's been great. You know, I've been encouraged by Jess and by Troy and by others to approach it not from a literal position, right? Don't take the words of the Bible verbatim and the stories that are within it.
Yeah, all the time. Unless it's meant, like, unless it's meant to be, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like when Jesus, a good example, sorry to cut you off. I've been doing that a lot this morning.
You're good.
But when Jesus says, you know, cut your hand off if it causes you to sin, because it's better to cut your hand off than to, he didn't mean, he wasn't promoting self-mutilation.
Yeah.
But yet some people do believe, like, that's literal. So that's just one example, but.
Yeah, and there a lot of the verbiage within the text can be taken that way, and I think that, you know, that's another conversation.
Yeah,
that can go down another avenue.
Yeah.
About some of the problems that are based around, you know, Catholicism and et cetera. But it's been great. I've taken it from just a very open minded standpoint, and really loving kind of the narration and the translation of the text and the storytelling. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah,
it really is. It may be the most beautiful story ever.
Hmm.
I am taking your recommendation into consideration and maybe jumping over to the New Testament once I finish Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm kind of working my way through the story of Moses, so getting towards the end of Exodus there. But
yeah,
it's that. Something that I've kind of implemented now into my daily practice, which is amazing. Has been really great. So I do it in the mornings and after meditating and sauna and cold plunge, and spend some time, you know, reading scripture and highlighting and making notes. So it's been good. A beautiful addition to the morning, and yeah. taking what resonates with me and leaving what doesn't, really.
Yeah. I mean, at different parts of your life, some stuff's going to jump off the page.
Yeah.
Some stuff's going to hit like a dud, and that's just,
yeah.
Doesn't mean that there's not value in it, because it's almost like the field, it's like the alchemist. There's value in the treasure all along, but he just didn't realize it, right? So that's been my journey for sure. Mm. Scripture hits different ways in different levels of impact throughout your life, which is beautiful. But just to touch on that literal versus symbolic or metaphysical idea, number one, I am not qualified to have an expert opinion on this. So this is all anecdotal.
Yeah, this same here.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very beginning of this self-discovery into, you know, what all of this means for me. So when I'm speaking, I'm speaking from my experience only.
Yes. Yeah, and I can hear that. You can hear that in both of our hearts, which is amazing, because I never want to be the guy who has all the answers. You know, I don't think, you know. So, but having said that, with something like Exodus, Scripture is amazing in so many ways, because the depths of the truths can never be fully plumbed. You know, you can never reach the bottom of the truth, because it hits you differently, but it also, it reveals more as you're, like, so, for example, you have Moses. So here's the combination of literal, but also metaphysical or, you know, symbolism at play. Moses, I believe, was a real person. I believe he really did lead the Israelites out of captivity from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and that happened, right? But also, Exodus is the story we're all living in a way.
Mm.
Why? Because we all have a Pharaoh within. We all have a tyrant within us.
Mm.
Okay? And God has to lead us to freedom. And he has to do a miracle to release us from bondage, right?
Mm.
But then what happens? So they cross the Red Sea, they get freedom, but then they're in the desert. And they're like, dang, I wish, we're free now, but I wish we were back enslaved.
Yeah.
We had it better, because at least we knew what we were getting. And Jordan Peterson talks about this exactly. It's not really my original thought, but he goes, that's the journey we're all on. Once you get freed from this tyrant, whether it be alcohol, other vices, maybe it's yourself, which I know is the separate old self for me, then you get to the open plains of the desert. Freedom, and you kind of wish you missed the old days. You know, you miss the old days. You miss when it was more structure, even though you were a slave.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and then it's like, so you wander for 40 years, right? And you know, you're journeying with God. You're learning how to surrender and trust. And so it's both can be true. is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Literal, metaphysical, hypothetical, I mean, you know, whatever words, like I'm trying to, like in my head, it makes sense because that's how the Bible is, which is so deep and profound.
Yeah.
So you're in Exodus currently, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
Yeah. What part? Plagues?
I am, gosh, let me think about this. I think chapter 27. Hmm.
That's got to be when he's confronting Pharaoh, no?
He's getting ready to climb.
The mountain.
The mountain.
To receive the law.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we just brought this up with I call Friday Bible study the Logos immersion. I
think I told you about that, right?
That was this morning.
Oh, this morning. Yeah. Gotcha.
We talked about the name God gave to Moses. He goes, well, because he told Moses to go and free the Israelites, and if Pharaoh asks you, say, I sent you. He goes, well, what's your name? You know, who should I say? He goes, I am who I am. I am who I am. No beginning, no ends. Mm. Just being itself, existence itself. I mean, God. So that's really profound. That burning bush idea. I've spoken on that in my podcast with meeting Trevor Hall. And so, yeah, it's just it's really profound. The more you dive into that, because it's translated. So I am is Yahweh, but it's not. That's what we translate it. But the ancients never really thought you could actually speak God's name. Hmm. It's unspeakable in a sense. But they believe the Yahweh is, and you can't speak it, but you breathe it every day of your life, every moment you speak God's name. It's powerful. First thing that happens when you're born, when you were born, what'd you do? You breathed, you cried, but you said you spoke God's name through breathing, which is so powerful. So that's a whole conversation, right? But that was brought up this morning at study, and it's just beautiful, man. One of the things, and I'll shut up here. I'm sorry, dude. I'm kind of hogging this, but I geek out over this, obviously.
Hey, man, you're passionate about it, and I appreciate that.
I love that about you, that you can see that. You know, one of the Ten Commandments you'll find in your reading is, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And I always thought growing up that was, don't use God or Jesus or Holy Spirit or, you know, in vain. Don't cuss, you know, don't say GD.
Yeah.
That was what I thought. And now I don't say GD, you know, I don't prefer to say that. However, if you think about Yahweh being your breath, you know, like God's breath, what'd he do when he created Adam? He molded him, picked up mud and dirt, but then breathed divine breath into him, his spirit, and he became a living being. And so to take God's name in vain is to live your life in vain, is to not think about the words you're saying, to just breathe aimlessly and think that it's all, there's no reason or purpose behind it. But when you're breathing and living in that presence and awareness and intention, you are not taking God's name in vain. You got God's name on your lips every day of your life.
Mm.
So
it's interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
creation of man's far out.
I mean, it's symbolism for, you know, don't take life for granted.
Yeah.
Try to pursue that potential,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Ram Dass has a quote. It's simple, it's short, it's sweet. It says, we are not who we think we are. And I think that ties in line with just kind of, again, this pursuit of always trying to rediscover and become.
Oh, keep talking.
Who we are.
I gotta do this. Okay, so what does that quote mean to you again? You said you're not who we think we are.
It just it reminds me to continue to rediscover myself and to continue to try to become a better version of who I am right now.
It's good. Yep. Yeah, it's been a season of my life is I'm not who I think I am, not who others say I am. I am who God says I am. I can't be ultimately defined by others, by other people's perceptions. And that's been, to my story, and when you brought that up, that's been the journey of my life, is letting people define me and their perceptions define me. And so ultimately, though, that can't happen. Ultimately, you and I can only be defined by who brought us into existence, which is really cool, because that seems to be something that never changes, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be pretty freaking rock solid. So yeah, the journey I had to God in Christ was letting every illusion drop, letting every fear and lie I believed about myself just go to the wayside and believe who he said I was. So yeah, that's really cool, man. What was I going to ask you about? We were just talking about something, not Ram Dass, but... It's part of what I'm afraid of when I get older. My memory already is shot already, and I'm 31. So quick year in review. Yeah, you mentioned that. Freaking love that. And it's so healthy to reflect. So like you mentioned that, I'm like, that's a no-brainer. So for a year in review, you know, what sticks out to you in your life is, you know, this 2023 season, this year of becoming more you. How's that been? You know, what are some highlights or?
I turned 40.
It's a big one, dude.
Which is a big one for me. And even, I think it was more of, you could argue, a subconscious shift in my mindset. And I think for the first time in my life, I realized that the reality is I'm working my way towards the back nine here of my life, you know, and to kind of use the symbolism of golf. I don't know why my mind's going that way, but it is.
Yeah.
I don't even play golf, right?
Well, I talk about surfing. I don't even surf.
But, you know, I didn't play my front nine very well. Right. And so I turned 40 and I just have this feeling within me that says I'm going to live out this back nine like a legend.
To the fullest.
To the fullest.
Like a legend. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To the absolute fullest.
Hmm.
And I will say that 2023 has been probably the best year of my life. I'm more present, I'm more grounded, I feel like I'm more open. You know, you talk about spirituality and letting that and religion come in more.
It's a big door to open.
Yeah, huge. My relationship with my wife has deepened.
Yeah.
I think it's deepened because she's continued to grow individually, I've continued to grow individually, and as we continue to grow individually, we just grow stronger together.
Yeah.
So that's been big. We've done some fun trips this year. And it's just, you know, this meeting guys like you this year.
Yeah, you've been blessed with me. No, I'm kidding. The biggest blessing. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I was thinking because you mentioned that I had only met you when you were 40, so I didn't know because when I first met you, I think I saw your Instagram. It was redefining what it means to be 40, fit at 40,
changing the narrative.
So I was like, dude, I already like this guy because he's embracing it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's you had to, of course, say that's a highlight is meeting me, no doubt.
Yeah, one of the highlights.
No, it's the highlight.
The highlight.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. It's just open door, you know, meeting you and then Josh is such a wonderful human being as
amazing.
Well. Amazing. And
the best heart, dude.
Friendship that we've been able to develop and now leading into a lot of other opportunities into 2024.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about this next coming year and what that has to unfold for all of us.
Well said. Yeah, I mean, dude, guys like Josh, for me, when I say guys like Josh, it's really Josh. Like, we had his diaper party, his, you know, bachelor thing before he becomes a dad. And, you know, you were, not surprisingly, you were very intentional about kind of redirecting the conversation onto something real and lasting. Mm. Like, hey, why don't we stop figuring out, like, talking about who's, you know, what's happening with the movies and this and that. Why don't we talk about your favorite memory with Josh? And so I was like, man, that's why I freaking love Ryan, because it's going to be a real conversation. Is that good?
Yeah, I'm just making sure it's recording.
Cool. Well, the good news is I'm talking, so that's all good. I think we had a couple moments, too, where you were talking and that was off, but it's perfect because so we're rolling with it, baby.
That's it.
Life's messy. We just go with the flow.
That's right.
The flow is always flowing. You can either enjoy it or you can fight it.
Yes.
But yeah, when I say Josh, like, dude, Josh has made the biggest impact on me in my life this year by far. I see him before he had Harper, his beautiful baby boy, every day, you know? And it says a lot when I would work with him 5 days a week, but then we'd want to hang out for the sixth or the seventh. It says a lot about someone.
Yeah.
So
it does.
We connected, and in the same way you have, he's really caused me to question things, be open to things, stay curious about things, be passionate about my pursuit of becoming more me. And to approach, you know, things like cognitive dissonance, when things don't make sense, in a healthy way, which is cool. Because I think that's been a catalyst for a lot of growth, specifically like this year for me. You know, dude, we've spent it all. I've cried with him. I cried here at the studio. I forget exactly what we went through, Gigi and I. The details, but it was heavy, and I was just like, a lot was going on, man. I was just like, dude. And he felt it, he sensed it, and I said, dude, I'm gonna go eat lunch, and I'll be by the pond, by the water. And I was just freaking bawling my eyes out, and then I come back in here, and he's just so freaking intentional. No idea what he's going through that day, but he's just like, hey, man, dude, I'm here, bro, and I think it's really healthy that you, let it out. That's so good, like. Do it, and just it was there.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that. And being around a guy and men who are willing to cry or really willing to share feelings, with each other.
Listen,
bro, I need more of that in my life. Give people their flowers while they're here.
Right.
That is what, the men, that's what I need more of. And so he's helped me in massive ways there. So shout out to Josh. Love you, bro. Of course, meeting you, same thing. It's been an incredible year with new doors opening. 2024, in my mind, will be better. It'll blow 23 out the window in terms of impact, local, but also global. Mental, physical, spiritual, familial, financial. All deals. man, and dude, certainly not least, this is the most impactful and most beautiful thing in my life is my wife, Gigi, and being able to bring a child into this world has forever changed me. And it's made me look at God differently. It's made me look at myself differently. It's made me look at other people, men and women, differently for the better.
Yeah.
For the best. Some people like yourself can get there all alone, but I think God, he knew I needed a child to show me this. And so, Gianna is the light of our freaking life. She is everything. And I have to pinch myself sometimes. I wake up and I'm like, this is, I can't believe it's real. Can't believe it's my life. Like, who am I? I don't deserve this, but then again, God just pours out favor and blessing and grace and it's just amazing. So I have no choice but to be grateful every day.
Yeah.
So Gianna, watching her grow, seeing Gigi blossom as a wife, as a mother, has been insane. So it's the most beautiful thing. Could not be more proud of her. I wake up and I love her more every single day, and I just think about this because I know you, me, people listening, like, we all go through rocky places in relationships, but it's just crazy because if we could see the end, we would approach those rocky places a whole lot differently. If I could fast forward and see Gianna right now, I go back to those days, those nights, those seasons of life with Gigi where it was rocky.
Yeah,
it was tough, and all I could do was just either cry, yell, you know, by myself, cry out to God and beside myself, I would have that peace because I'd be like, you know what, stick with it. Mm. And so that beauty, that life isn't there if we say no to each other.
Yeah.
If we close off.
Yeah.
If we give up. So it's taught me a lot.
What's a word going into 2024?
Great.
That you want to give
question
towards it?
Wow, that's a big one, dude. How do you distill into one word? Oh, man, I feel like 2023 was love for me.
Beautiful.
You know? Yeah, so I'm thinking, this is so me, but I'm thinking like a double. So like either abundant life or abundant love. Abundant life. You know, I just want I want abundance of love, joy, peace,
yeah,
relationship, authenticity, impact.
Living from a place of abundance. And when you live from a place of abundance, guess what? More abundance comes, generally speaking.
Yes, facts. Yeah, man, that's a good word. What about you? It's a tough one, just distilling.
Yeah, I mean, you can go really deep with it if you want.
How deep you want to go, buddy? I'm willing.
Episode 3.
Oh, let's go. Episode 3 will be at your house, 100%. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Because that's just, it's such a vibe.
I'll say rediscovery. That's the first thing that comes up, keeps coming up, right? Wow. Just a year of rediscovery, and there's going to be some change in my life from a business standpoint. Obviously from a marital standpoint, no kids, how are we going to embrace that? And what are we going to do with that? And, from a leadership role standpoint too, how can I continue to, fill that role as well? It's kind of on the agenda for me for 2024.
Rediscovering. So good, man. I want to rediscover that potential that's lying dormant within us, like that monk. Just setting himself on fire, no flinch. So intently focused on the purpose.
Here's what we're going to do after the podcast.
Don't tell me we're getting gas.
We're not going to get gas, but we're going to turn the plunge down to about as low as it goes.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have you get in and we're going to practice you not moving or speaking a word. Whoa. Or doing anything. How about we start there?
All right.
There we go.
So can I breathe?
Yes, you can breathe.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's gonna be something. That'll be something. Yeah, man. That's super good.
That back to the monk though. It's there, and I think those the practices like cold plunge, practices like meditation, and you know, speaking to God and scripture, and those are all things that'll kind of push you in that direction towards, you know, finding that ultimate 100%. Introspection.
100%.
And presence.
What I meant to give you was a piece of advice, not that I think you should live your life based on my opinion, but that I wish someone would tell me earlier, was when I read the Bible, I believe in the power of asking God before you open the Bible, before you read. You know, it might be a quick intention, but it's like, this is just a book if I let it be. But God, if you can open my eyes, open my heart, open the depths of my being to what you want to give me, then let it be. And, you know, come, you know, be here. And just invite God. That changes everything, bro.
Mm.
You know, we can read the Bible. So we read it oftentimes like a dead book. And I'm like, dude, God can bring that thing to life, man. And that's what I would say. I'd recommend that in your practice, as you already are doing a lot of intention setting.
Putting the intentionality behind that. I received that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, dude, I'd love to hear. I mean, you're in it, and I think it's awesome, bro. It's rediscovering, you know, yourself, who you are, which is awesome. Okay, so have we touched on, did we talk about anything, or did you come with any topics that we haven't covered too?
Man, we covered a lot. I mean, the only other thing is I can speak on my wife a little bit. You know, you put so much a little energy and love into Gigi and Gianna, man. You can definitely see the amount of love that you have for those two. And for me, Jess has been that foundational piece for me. You know, I was a completely different man before I met her 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I was on my way. I was definitely on my way. But she has just provided me with a greater sense of purpose. And has opened the doors to so many things that now I am so thankful for. And I'm just excited to continue to live my life with that woman. She's a blessing, I just wake up, I look at her, she's just so beautiful. She's just such a beautiful woman inside and out. And,
yeah.
And I just feel so fortunate that I have the opportunity to walk hand in hand with her through this journey, man.
Dude, it's everything. I mean, having her, that partner, that friend, that support system, it's beautiful. And you can tell, man, you guys are just made for each other. And you're going to be part of each other's growth in different ways. You know, and it's awesome, bro. I'm so freaking glad we met and connected this year like we did, because I think it's just divine timing there. I also think too, side note, with our wives, I sat down with a buddy, a friend who I don't really know that well, but he goes to the same church I go to, and he was we were just talking about marriage, and I told him, like, I'm over the moon and grateful for Gigi, because I think, you know, it's tempting as men to think, oh great, my video just went out. It's all good. But it's tempting as men to, like, to think that there's more out there, right? There's, like, you know, people always want to look at the grass is greener on the other side, and, you know, some guys wish they could have different relationships, and, you know, but it's like you have a treasure right in front of you that you don't often, or you don't always, like, recognize. And so what I told him was, you know, most guys who are single or whatever are in a season of, like, sleeping around or whatever, they don't realize the power in just committing to a woman and going all the way, like, deep with her in life and with yourself. You know, sharing that intimacy, because what they do is they reveal your blind spots. They actually, like, if you commit to one woman, they'll force you to look at places and things in your life that you don't want to touch.
Yeah, yeah.
They force you to look at the blind spots, and they force you to become everything you were made to become.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, I'm like, dude, that's what it's about. You know, that's the greatest part of marriage, is you get to do that with a person. It's relational, and it's an ever-going dynamic thing, yeah. Which is really powerful.
That's a great approach on that. The wives will call us out on our stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
And if we didn't have them, we'd be a little bit...
Would we just kind of continue down this trajectory and this path that we're so accustomed to, because we almost don't even know that we're living these certain patterns at certain times when it comes to ego and selfishness and all of that.
Correct.
Of those other things. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that I'm married, man.
Yeah.
As my buddy Pat, who's not married, he would go, bro, you don't want to be in these streets.
it's hell out here.
I'm so glad that
it's got to be tough, dude. Mm. We talk about that from time to time. Like, what would we do if you didn't know me, I didn't know you. You know, if, like, we were single in this season of life, or in this day and age too.
I can imagine, man. Dating's hard these days. I can imagine. I mean, you've got 2 seconds to impress somebody, or it's moving on, right? Yeah.
It's the swipe mentality.
Yeah. Give me this emotion and this feeling immediately, or move on. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I'm not doing that.
I know. What advice would you give someone, like, if you're, let's say, a brother of yours was 40 or 31, you know, like, what would we tell our younger brothers in this environment?
I would number one, don't try to force anything, obviously, but maybe get into some area. All right. I don't want to be I'm like a relationship expert here.
the relationship guru, yeah, right. Ryan Tuttle. Let's go.
Man, everyone's on their own individual journey. Here's what worked for me.
Yeah.
For me, I wasn't seeking out anything. And what I did, I just started to surround myself with like-minded people and people that had good energy, and began going to yoga studios and gymnasiums. So maybe starting with hobbies and patterns that relate to my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right.
That you value.
Value. And of that, people have friends and circles, and and that expands out. And within that circle, potentially there's someone there for you.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you believe in fate, there's fate too. I mean, my story with Jess was Ashley Stewart, who I believe you know, laid down a mat for her on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And if she wouldn't have laid right next to me, and she just was leaving just 60 days from that point, right? She was moving to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So I often stop and think, you know, what if Stewart wouldn't have put that mat there?
One thing. That's one action.
You know, I don't know that we necessarily would have had a conversation after class. I don't know that if I was on the other end of the room, you know, that I necessarily would have had that same interaction to lead us to where we are today. So is it? To believe in fate? I don't know, man. It's just that's deep.
It's pretty freaking wild to see in retrospect.
Yeah,
because what seems like just a one-off thing, or just a very non-meaningful action, was the beginning. It was the genesis of a whole new life for you.
Yeah,
not to quote Aladdin,
a whole new. That's not bad, Ryan.
I think 2024 will be voice. That's my word.
Start laying down some soundtracks behind the for the audio captioning.
Do a little beatboxing. But it's true. Like that's wild to think about in retrospect. Something so offhand or minute or meaningless in perception. It was the catalyst for a relationship, a whole new life.
Yeah,
that's freaking wild. I do believe in fate, in a sense where I believe in God, just doing things on purpose. And when we don't agree or see things in the world, in ourselves, or in life that we don't agree with, like I think the faith part is being at that place of surrender and saying, look, I don't get it. And I wouldn't have done it this way either.
Yeah.
But I trust that there is a greater plan. And if you can get there, then you're open. That's curious. Surrendered. You're willing.
That's great advice to anyone out there. Yeah. Right? Keep your heart open.
Yes.
No matter what you're doing, just keep your heart open and having the willingness to accept love into your heart. And I think if you do that, then when the right time comes, or if fate decides or whatever it is, it'll happen for you.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. And I think using that season of life wherever you are as how can I learn from this? How can I change? How can I, you know, work on me? I think that's cool. And you mentioned it too, getting to a place where you surrender and let go of needing a spouse, needing to be married, needing, you know, that's when I think magic can sort of happen. That's when I met Gigi. I was like, I'm done, dude. I'm not talking to her. Like, I'm playing baseball. And then boom.
Yeah.
So not to say it's always going to happen like that, but that's the reality. I stopped looking and I was just working on, focused on me.
Yeah.
So we haven't touched on anything that you, we mentioned. We wrapped up a lot of stuff.
I think we hit everything that we had talked about.
I really want to, you know, dive into more even like, I think communication and leadership. Storytelling, telling your story, like, because I want to get better at telling my story. How do I do that? I think you have a lot of things to teach me in that sense. You know, so even just a couple of things that stick out to me is using, you use words very intentionally. You embrace silence and pauses. It's not something I do well. I have to actually try at that. And you create meaning. And more importantly, not more importantly, but even more, you express that and you explain the meaning. I feel like I need to grow. There's an opportunity for me to grow into that space where I can create more meaning for others that I myself experience that I think would impact them in a positive light. Mm. So we have a lot of that stuff to talk about, as well as continued, you know, what are you learning about yourself? What's, you know, how, what life is doing to you, how God's working and all that. And then, you know, anything that we reflect on, I think we'll do that again, obviously. So
I love it.
Cool, man. So that's, dude, that's a podcast. That's 1 hour, hour and a half.
Is it?
Pretty solid.
Go by quick.
I know. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I love this, like sitting down with guys like you, just like you're here, you know, it's just fully present. There's no distractions. There is, but there's not. And there's not often times you do this with other people like this setting. So thank you for being on, Ryan.
Enjoyed it, brother.
Wishing everyone, wishing you a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, whatever you celebrate. Very grateful for you. If you love this episode, what helps me the most and Ryan too is just, you know, sharing with a friend or maybe even just reaching out, DMing us or messaging us. Ryan's Instagram is Inquiry Within.
Yep.
So hit him up on that. And yeah, I mean, we got a lot of good stuff coming. This man and me and Josh, Zach, some other guys in town. We got some stuff cooking in the works.
It's in the kitchen.
We're about to freaking sauce it up, baby. Was it abundance and rediscovering?
Abundance and rediscovery.
Can't go wrong with that, my friend.
No.
All right. I love you. Abundance and love and joy and peace to you and your family this season. And like I said, I mean, share with a friend. Well, with that being said, live elevated, stay fit for life, and enjoy the journey.
Happy holiday, yo.
Boom. Peace. Yeah. Oh,